First Corinthians chapter 9, and I read from verse 24. It says, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty, thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I preach to others, I myself should become disqualified. Let me read the Passion Translation. It says, 1 Corinthians 9:24, the Passion Translation. It says, isn't it obvious that all runners on the racetrack keep on running to win, but only one receives the victor's prize? Yet each one of you must run the race to be victorious. A true athlete will be disciplined in every respect, practicing constant self-control in order to win a laurel wreath that quickly withers. But we run our race to win a victor's crown that will last forever. For that reason, I don't run just for exercise or box like one throwing aimless punches, but I train like a champion athlete. I subdue my body and get it under control so that after preaching the good news to others, I myself won't be disqualified. Praise God. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, and I'm going to read the TPT. I read from verse 1 to verse 3. I'm sorry, from verse 2 to 3 in the TPT. It says, we look away from the natural realm and we focus our attention and expectation unto Jesus, who birthed faith within us and who leads us forward into faith's perfection. His example is this. Because his heart was focused on the joy of knowing that you will be his, he endured the agony of the cross and conquered its humiliation, and now sits exalted at the right hand of the throne of God. So consider carefully how Jesus faced such intense opposition from sinners who opposed their own souls, so that you won't become worn down and cove in under life's pressures. Amen. Hallelujah. So 1 Corinthians 9, it talks about the fact that everyone that runs in a race, they run, but only one person receives the crown. Hallelujah. Amen. So you know that if you are follower of football, you know that in the Champions League, it's only the winner that is celebrated. Abi? It's only the winner that is celebrated. They don't do second, they don't do third. There's no time for that one. You win, and then you're a champion. Forget those people that they give silver medal. Those ones are consolation. Silver medal, bronze medal, it's for consolation. That's why when I used to run, I don't run for silver medal. If I get silver medal, I'll be crying. I just, once it's silver, I know that I failed. In fact, once I see that I'm coming second, I'll just stop. I won't finish the race. There's no point. Hallelujah. So I'll go back to my drawing board. But it hardly ever happened that I will be second at all. If they make me second, they cheated me. That's the truth of the matter. Hallelujah. Because once we are on the track, everybody, your attention is on the finish line. And it's on the finish line, not because they want to give you medal or they want to give you flour. Who's bothered about flour? It's because after that, after we do that race, when you are walking inside the school, oh my God. If you come for Easter 2.0, when you come for Easter 2.0, you see what I'm saying. When you win, after the next day, everybody in school is your friend, though. Everybody. In fact, someone say, come, let me buy you lunch. This one, come, let me buy you break. Everybody. And then for the next 1 year, because there's no other champion until the next dance sport, the respect is just too much. So I now come second. They won't. No, if you come second, nobody will remember you. You say, no, see, that one is faster than him. Hallelujah. Amen. So it wasn't, for me, it was not, second and third was not anything at all. It was not anything to bother about. That's the price. Now, the price for me was the fact that after that, people will give that much respect and they will not talk about you. Up to today, when some people see me, they still fear me and say, ah! No, those ones don't call me that name. You know, for everywhere you, every port you go, they say a sailor has a wife at every port. That's what they say. So sailors have a wife at every port. For every port we go when we were young, there's a name they call you. Hallelujah. So when all of you, everybody are calling me Pastor NY, they know that these people, they knew me surpassing grace. Amen. So when I was, that time when I was running, there was a name, don't let me tell you. That was the name they called me. And that's, in fact, they called me that name in school so much so that my mother adopted that name. Even up to now, when my mother calls me and she's very happy, she will call me the nickname. When she calls me and say, I say, this is happy day. But when she calls and say, Olumiwa, I say, there's trouble. I say, Amen. But I'm saying, that prize, everybody runs because of that prize. Hallelujah. And he's saying here in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, he says, you know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize. Run in a race so that you may obtain it. Amen. And if you want to obtain that prize, there are different things that has been, different prescriptions that have been given to people. Number one thing is that your mind and your body must be in the right frame. Because you can't compete if you are always having muscle pull, you are always having a problem. So once every under standard temperature, in chemistry, they say standard temperature and pressure, under those standard conditions, you know that at this point, I mean, you're fine, you're good to go. You know, sometimes when I watch people run, I see them in those days. You see Johan Blake, you see Bolt, Ashafa Powell, you see all of them. And I just say, but is it not obvious that it's this one that will win? But nobody ever runs like that. Because on certain days, you will find out that it's not Bolt that wins. It's Blake that wins. And I came to find out that even when they are doing their trials in their country, Blake always wins. You understand? It was just like when Mike Tyson was the boxing champion. Hallelujah. Everybody thought that he was invincible, that nobody knocks him down. But his sparring partner always gives him out. He knocks him down. So when he's practicing, his sparring partner, and I'm sure they must have that guy, you better don't think of coming out as a boxer. His sparring partner will always knock him down. Amen. But then he will come, and everybody's like, no. This is this guy, you know? But that's just it. Now, he says, and then he talks about that, you may run in such a way that you may obtain it. The next, continue, please. And says, everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. So, in the TPT, says, you are disciplined, you have control. And then now, they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. He says, therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I preach others, I myself become disqualified. It says, we run, not for a perishable one, but for an imperishable crown. Hallelujah. Amen. And this is what the Bible records. It says in Romans chapter 8, verse 36 and verse 37, verse 37, it says, yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Hallelujah. Amen. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Amen. In this race that we are in, we all have that potential Okay? Because we are in a place of victory. He says we are more than conquerors through him. Amen. So he has fought and he has fought and he has won. Hallelujah. And he has given us access to that victory. And that's why he says we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Amen. And we have to stay in that position of victory for us to fight from victory and continue and be more than conquerors. And I think Setman had explained to us what more than conquerors is. Somebody does all the struggle, receives all the beating, and then he hands over the crown or the medal to somebody, and this guy enjoys all the euphoria and all the pleasures of who a champion is. Okay, so first, let me rewind. When I left school, I went to the tertiary institution. I didn't really used to run. And then when I gave birth to these children, when they say Father's Race, I would remember those good old days. I'll go to the field and then we'll run Father's Days. And then my little girl, then she wasn't up to speed with her races. Okay, but each time I won the Father's Race, it was my daughter that would stand on the podium to receive the prize. And she will be so happy. And the day that I forget to put her on the podium, I will not hear the last of it too. Say, why did you not let me take the prize for you? I say, I'm sorry. That is what it is. That is more than a conqueror. Hallelujah. Because it's me that will have gone to sweat it out on the field. And then she comes and says, I want to collect the prize for you. No problem. Collect the prize. And then I tell them, they decorate her. And then she's going to take the picture and everybody's just going to, me that won the race, I just stand by and say, okay, no problem. Hallelujah. And that's joy of being a father. But that's what being more than a conqueror is. Because she gets to receive the handshake. She gets to receive the medal. She gets to hold it. And she gets to brag about it. Amen. Hallelujah. And that's what Christ has done for us. He has fought the battle. And Hebrews chapter 12, which you just read, just says it exactly the way it is. And you remember that in Hebrews chapter 1, from verse 1 and verse 2, it says, in time past, God spoke to us through his prophets. But in this age and time, in this day and time, he's speaking to us, NKJV, in these last days, has spoken to us by his son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. Hallelujah. So if you are looking for examples, or if you want to hear or know what God is saying, all you need to do is take a look at Jesus Christ and see what he's doing. And that's why I read Hebrews chapter 12 to us. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. It says, as looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Hallelujah. Amen. Pastor Divine was telling us some weeks back when we were showing that film, Passion of the Christ, when we were showing that film, and a woman was sitting here, and she really got angry with the way they were beating Christ in that film. And we were like, Kukuma killed him now, you know? And that's for you to show that those that made that film, they tried to actually get a good picture of what he went through. But that's not even half of what he went through. Hallelujah. Amen. That's not even half of what he went through. So if you look at the punishment, I don't know if they have beaten you before, but they used to beat me. You know this song, they used to do wonderful things for me. My mother used to do good beating. Good beating. Every time I see her, I just always remember. Every time she's doing bad day, 70, 80, I always tell her, this woman, she almost kicked me with beating. Hallelujah. Amen. And it's not her fault. She just wanted me to turn out the best. Amen. My mom wanted me to teach. She was my lesson teacher. Say 1 + 1, 2, this one. Then we'll go to another one. She said, oh yeah, apply this principle here. I will have forgotten. I'll just be looking. There was one day she asked me a particular question and I didn't know it. Then she went to the kitchen. She went to make some food. And my sister was ironing in the corner. And my sister is very good. If you tell my sister anything now, she will tell you that in times 10, 2 days later. So she went, she came back. I still couldn't figure it out. She was showing me the example and telling me, use this example to solve this one. I still couldn't figure it out. And then my sister just told me the answer. I just stepped into the kitchen. I said, Olumi, you asked, what's the answer? Me, I just said the answer straight. The one my sister told me, I just said it straight. My mother just came out and went to my sister, JJ. As he just came out of the kitchen, she didn't look at me. She just went to my sister. I'm giving my sister a very good beating. He said, you do not want him to end up like you. And I kept wondering, how did you know? My mother said, you that takes a long time to process. And I asked you something, now. You now told me it's a lie. And that's how she got it. And it's true. I just sit down there and be like, I said, this one. But these days, with the help of God, if you say before you say one thing, I'll process it and I'll tell you, amen. Hallelujah. And that's how so you beat, oh God. And then we'll go back and then we'll be studying. Now he says that he endured the cross. And you know the cross did not stop at when he gave, it not start when he gave up his ghost. It started from all that beating, from Pontius Pilate's court, all the way, okay? And then all the way to the cross. And then he said, it is finished. Hallelujah. And you can see, and then he says, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Verse 3. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Go back to verse 2. Now, what was he looking at? He was looking at the joy that was set before him. That's what gave him the encouragement and the impetus to endure all that pain. Okay? So for him, that's the price. Hallelujah. Amen. And it's a price that is set before him. And he said he did not take his eyes off that price. Meaning that for every other thing that will come along his way, whether, you know, there was a time that they went to test him and they said they were going to push him off the cliff, and then he just walked out in their midst. And I don't know how he did that, but he walked away from them. But now, this time around, they came to arrest him, and he did not do anything. They did not do anything. And you know, he took Judas, give him a kiss for them to identify that this is him. Abi? Or you have forgotten? Have you forgotten? So, each time I read that part of the Bible, you know what occurs to me? He always looked like the Asians. You know those Asians? When you see all of them, for you to identify which one is problem. Those Chinese people, when you see them, they just all look alike. They just all look alike. They're like, which one spoke to me now? So when they wanted to go and arrest Jesus, and it's amazing, okay? This is someone that's been in synagogue with them. Now, for them to arrest him, Jesus had to tell them, look, it's the person that I kiss. That is him. Have you ever thought of it? That means that there must have been similarities in the way they'd all dressed and in the way they all looked. Hallelujah. And so probably, maybe they all dressed, or maybe they all covered their head, or whatever. But it took him to give him that kiss. Hallelujah. And then when the struggle came and his disciple was cutting people's off, he said, no. He put it a place because he said, the hour has come. Now, why is he saying all those things? Because there's a joy that is set before him. And he knows that if this is the hour and all these things that they are doing will truncate whatever God has in plan, then there will be no joy at the end of the road. Amen. So you have to have an understanding. I think in Colossians 3 verse 3 that we were reading on Thursday? The CPT. Colossians 3:3. It says, for you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Amen. It says, for you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Your crucifixion with Christ has severed the tie to this life, and now your true life is hidden away in God in Christ. Hallelujah. So please just know that all this English, in God, in Christ, is the same thing as the other one, verse 2. Is hidden with Christ in God. Hallelujah. It's the same thing, you know. So if something is with Sunday and Sunday is inside the church, you have to get inside the church and you get to Sunday. Abi? So that means that whatever happens, if you are going to get to Christ, then you have to get in God. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, he's saying that this is the end result of what was said before Christ. Okay, so his own joy, Christ's joy now, is that we have that access to God. And now he's seated at God's right hand and looking at all the things that he has done, and that brings satisfaction. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Give me the TPT. It says, we look away from the natural realm and we fasten our gaze unto Jesus, who birthed faith within us and who lead us forward in faith's perfection. Okay? We look away from all the natural things and then we look at Jesus. Okay? It says, his example is this. Because his heart was focused on the joy of knowing that you will be his. Hallelujah. Amen. So, he's going to the cross. He's taking everything in. It wasn't because he just wants to suffer. Because he knows that after all these things, you and I will become his. He says, knowing that you will be his, he endured the agony of the cross and conquered its humiliation and now sits exalted at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. So the end for Christ was that he will gain you and I back to God. So whatever you are going to face was nothing. So if you look at what we're reading in 1 Corinthians 9, it says everybody runs to obtain a prize. Hallelujah. Amen. Now we are not obtaining one that is going, that is perishable, but one that cannot perish. Now if Hebrews 12, go back to Hebrews 12, 12 2, TPT. If Hebrews 2 says that his joy of knowing that you will be his, that's why he endured the cross. Do you know that it will be out of place for him to see you and I in lack and he does nothing about it? Hallelujah. Amen. Because it says in him all things were made and nothing was made without him. Hallelujah. Amen. And he has freely given to us all things. Amen. So if his joy was to get you and I into his fold, it's not to get us to that point and leave us. Hallelujah. It's to take us to that expected end with God. And that's why the Bible says that we have a mediator, okay, who stands on our behalf before God. And he's not going to say, no, Muiwa did this, Muiwa that. No, he's going to say, look, I have paid the price, and that's why I went through all this separation from you, so that he may have life. And once, and the only responsibility he has told us to give to us is that just believe, accept what he has done, believe it, okay, and then you'll be saved. So the joy for him and the price for him is you and I. And because it is you and I, he says we are more than conquerors. He said he conquered death. He says he endured, and then he conquered his humiliation. He conquered the cross, his humiliation, and now he's exalted at the right hand of the throne of God. Hallelujah. And for us to keep what he has done, we also must fix our gaze upon it. Hallelujah. And be like, let's go back to Colossians chapter 3 and understand truly that his crucifixion is our crucifixion and his resurrection is our resurrection. Amen. It says, your crucifixion with Christ has severed the tie to this life, and now your true life is hidden away in Christ in God. Hallelujah. Amen. So the true life is the life of the Christian that walks with God. So the one that we wake up and we move around and do all these mundane things is not life. Hallelujah. Amen. The true life is the life that we live in him. And that's why we always say that there's nothing like a Christian life. Hallelujah. Amen. Because you only have one life now. You have been severed from the previous life, and then your true life is now the life in him. And so when you look at, when you are running the race in this life on a constant and a continual basis, your gaze should be beyond these mundane things. Amen. Your gaze and your focus should be the end point, that what is Christ expecting me to do, and what is the joy that is set about, what is this joy that is set after this race before me. In Luke chapter 8, we read this morning, and he said that he went about preaching the good tidings of the kingdom of God. Let your life be truly an effulgence of the glory of God. He says the grace of God, I think that's Titus chapter 2, verse 11, the grace of God has appeared, that bring, it's the grace of God that brings salvation. It has appeared to all men. Hallelujah. Amen. The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Hallelujah. And once the likes of you and I bring a confirmation of that grace, then men, one man will be drawn unto him, and then that joy that Christ had will be full. Amen. So as we set our gaze for this month, amen, because it's a new month, hallelujah, as we walk further into this year, then let us dig deeper into understanding what the crucifixion is all about and the power of his resurrection, because therein lies your joy and your power. Because without the crucifixion and without the resurrection, we will not be here. Amen. And without an understanding of these things, we will not have anything to point to that this is our hope. If you look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says that we have a cloud of witnesses. Hebrews 12:1. It says, as for us, we have all of these great witnesses who encircle us like clouds. So we must not let go of every wound that has pierced us and the sin we so easily fall into. Then we'll be able to run life's marathon race with passion and determination, for the path has already been marked out before us. Let's read it in NKJV. It says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Amen. Let us run with what? Endurance. In Luke chapter 8, I think it was verse 12, verse 13, he talked about the fact that you hear the word, you believe the word, and then you patiently bear fruit with the word. That's endurance as well. Amen. It's endurance. You have to stay where God can find you and stay, because he's the one that understands time and season. Hallelujah. He says, but the ones that fell on good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. Hallelujah. Hebrews 12, verse 1 says that, go back to Hebrews 12, verse 1, it says that we should let us run with endurance that race that you set before us. And if you think that we cannot do, we cannot endure, then verse 2 tells us, and that's why the Bible goes to verse 2 and says, look, the example that Christ set before us is the same example. You have to endure because of the end. So the end is certain if you do endure and do certain things. The Bible says in James chapter 5, verse 11, that Job made us see the end that God intended, that indeed God is compassionate and is merciful. So the whole lesson of the entirety of Job is that you understand that if you do the things that God has asked you to do, then you will see that God is merciful and is compassionate. Hallelujah. And then it's also telling us that, look, if people are telling you to endure, don't say that Toby is not enduring or Sunday is not enduring. And if Toby will come, Sunday will come, will play, and he'll be happy. Why must I endure? They are not your yardstick. Amen. The next person to you is not your yardstick. Hallelujah. If at all anything, there should be an encouragement to you to go back to the word of God and look deep. It says in Hebrews 12, verse 2, that he set thus for us an example. Hallelujah. That for the joy that was set before him, he endured all the humiliation on the cross. So if you are going to endure, that be your motivation. Number one, you are not going to endure without knowledge. Hallelujah. Because you are coming from the place of knowledge and understanding. But then you are going to stay there, and you will patiently stay there till you bear fruit. Because with him, nothing is going to be impossible. Amen. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him. No, it's TPT. Let me have the TPT. Yeah, it says, we look away from the natural realm and we fasten our gaze unto Jesus. We look away from the natural realm. And then we fasten our gaze unto Jesus, who birthed faith within us and who leads us forward in faith's perfection. His example is this. Hallelujah. That is example. His example should be that propels us to do anything and anything at all. Amen. He says his example is this, because his heart was focused on the joy of knowing that you will be his. Amen. Hallelujah. Focused. And I think I told you last week, when Tebelelua was running his last race in school this February, and he ran that race with all his heart and with all his mind. He ran it with everything that he has. And then from receiving the relay baton last, with about about 10 or 15 meters gap with the person that was leading, he collected the relay baton last, and then he overtook that person and won the race. And everybody was clapping. And I said, and then in the video, we could see determination in his face. And so we thought, oh, he just wanted to win. That's what we thought. He just wanted to win. And then when we sat him down, I said, guy, why were you so determined? He said, my uncle promised me 100,000 naira. He said, daddy, I wasn't seeing what's on. I didn't even see that somebody was anywhere. He said, what was propelling him? It's not the, you see, that's what I'm saying. It's not the medal that they will give him and say, they will do one. He said, before coming for the race, he said, my uncle promised me 100,000 naira. And he said, unless he won that race, he knew that he would not win the prize that will make his uncle give him the 100,000. So everything on his inside, and his adrenaline, was that that this one, even if it's 50 meters, it was going to take him down. Now, he says, look, we look away from the natural realm and fasten our gaze onto Jesus. You will look away from the natural thing was that, okay, we are just running. But he had something else that was working for him. So if you're running the race in this life, he says our crown is not a perishable one. That's what should be propelling you. And then people wonder and say, why is he doing so much for such an ordinary thing? But it's not ordinary because you know the promise you have from him. Hallelujah. Amen. And you know that the end is not here. There is a hereafter. Let's rise to our feet. It is the word of God. And when the word of God goes out, it falls on grounds, fertile ground, stony ones. But it says that we should mix the word of God with faith. Let's thank him this morning. That we are going to go the extra mile, understanding the resurrection and the crucifixion and the end that is set for us in this race that we are in. And that will be our focus, and that will be what will be propelling us. Because Christ understood his mission. He said, for the joy that was set before him, that will be his. That's what was propelling him. And so everything they did to him on the cross, it wouldn't matter. As long as he survived the cross, as long as he survived it, he will come back and then will become his. And so we also need that understanding. We have an example in him. And then we will patiently walk with him. Father, we thank you. We give you praise. Thank you because your word works. Thank you because we have an understanding of purpose and who we are and what we are to do. Hallelujah. Thank you because that example that you have set before us, indeed will patiently wait for your word and will not be the same again. Lord, we magnify your name. We give you all the praise. In Jesus' name. We'll take the communion this morning. And First Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 17. It says, for we, though many, are one bread and one body. For we all partake of that one bread. Hallelujah. Amen. We all partake of that one bread. And he says that when he was departing, he said to his disciples, do this in remembrance of me. Hallelujah. So we thank him. We thank God this morning. And even before that, we thank him because we are taking it from a place of knowledge and understanding that the work that he did on the cross of Calvary, the shedding of his blood, was for the redemption of our soul and for reclaiming us back into the fold of God. So if you have anything that we need to talk to God about this morning, if you want to make peace with God, let's talk to him this morning. Thank him and give him all the praise. Thank him, God. Indeed, you will not again nail him to the cross. But most importantly, as we take the world and identify with his death, that understanding works stays with us. And of course, indeed, it says by his stripes we are healed. We are coming from a place of victory and we are walking in victory. We are the healed of the Lord that the devil is trying to make sick. Hallelujah. And we refuse it. And we remind ourselves that this had been a foregone conclusion ever since Christ came, went to the cross, and he rose again. And so as we take the bread this morning, that's at the back of our mind. And let us talk to God. Father, we thank you for these elements as we bless them. Indeed, understand from the place of understanding, we thank you because we will not remain the same again. Thank you for your blood that washed away all sins. And thank you because of the bread of life that gives life to our bodies. We give you all the praise, Father. Let your name be exalted, Lord. In Jesus' name. Bible says, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take it. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. So this morning, you may take the communion, and knowing fully well, we are doing this in remembrance of him and his commandments.